Today on Live Free and Ham Podcast, it's time to take the training wheels off and get down to recording. We're going to take a deeper dive into how we all connected as hams. Let me welcome you to Live Free and Ham Podcast, where your bi-weekly podcast covering all things ham radio in New Hampshire, New England, and beyond. I'm Eric, N1JUR, and if this is the first time you're listening to our show, welcome and thanks for joining us. If you've listened to us previously, please consider providing a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast player. You know, every review helps our show. And additionally, you know, we'd like to welcome you to come visit our website at livefreeandham.com, where there's a wide range of information and merchandise available. Before we dive into our topic, let's introduce our two other hosts. Again, my name's Eric, call sign N1JUR, man, tripping over myself today. And over to Ryan.
Yes, my name's Ryan, call sign is W1SNH, and I'm excited to be here.
And I'm Todd, W1STJ, and I'm also excited to be here and ready to get this going.
All right, cool. Well, you know, this is our first kickoff, guys, so, you know, we're just kind of feeling it all out, but, you know, how are you guys doing evening-wise? I know myself, I've been a little insane and drinking from the fire hose with work and a whole bunch of other stuff, but haven't had much ham radio time this week. How are you guys doing?
I'm doing great. It's always nice to have a either a project or the radio or just a handheld or even just in the car, driving around mobile. Just have something there in between, filling in between the busy schedule to play ham radio. It's always a good time.
Yeah, roger that. How about you, Todd? You, where you've been doing today? Any ham stuff related at all, or just been swamped with life?
Yeah, I've been swamped with life. A little coaching baseball, a lot of work, but I've been getting on the repeater, driving around, talking to many of the club members and a few others. So that's all I've been really doing this week, but I'm looking to get out and get in a quota activation probably in the next couple of days.
Very cool. I hear the weather is supposed to be a heck of a lot better, and it's only going to get better. So I haven't planned anything. Usually when I try to do that, my schedule dictates something different, but you have the gear waiting in the wings there, and I'll definitely jump on board if there's going to be a good day, hopefully. But you guys mentioned obviously just hanging out on the repeater. I have to say that's one of my favorite things just recently, since I haven't done a whole lot of ham related stuff. And there's a couple of guys on our repeater that are always available on a guaranteed call out. And hey, if you are a ham and you're wondering why repeaters are so dead these days, don't be afraid. Just get out, put your call sign out there, and someone will be bound to come back and have a discussion with them. That's the best thing. That's why we do ham radio. But so today, or to our, for this podcast, this is our first one here, so we're gonna probably stumble a little bit here and there, but please bear with us. We're definitely trying to get the format down. But we're going to talk about a little bit of our history and, how we all became hams and, how we, in essence ran into each other and the rest is history, as they say. So, it's all kind of led up to this moment, in doing a podcast together. We had a lot of great, conversations and, good, meetups and doing ham radio related activities. Just kind of from that, it came the natural progression to, just want to get in front of a microphone and talk about it all week. So it's all good for all of us here. So, let's kind of dive into the nuts and bolts of this. So, how did you guys get started in ham radio? Maybe you want to talk about a little bit of that. And in the terms of the grander scheme of things, what is ham radio to you like in New England and in New Hampshire specifically, as you got your license and your ticket and, as you started to get involved in the hobby a little bit? Anybody kind of want to take the reins and run with that first? And
yeah, thank you, Eric. So my history with ham radio began with my dad. He grew up as a teenager, primarily operating CW, and he would always be bragging. I remember over the years growing up where he'd routinely do 20 words a minute with a hacksaw blade and a nail, and he'd just be tapping it out, just a straight key, and he had a lot of fun with it. He ended up fading away from the hobby for a while, and then when the pandemic came along, I had a lot of free time and figured, well, I when I looked into it, I realized I didn't need to learn the Morse code, and I could just test into the technician level and take it from there. So right at the beginning of the pandemic, local club had a training session that I attended, went through the class, tested, passed the technician. And then probably about 6 months later, I went through the same training course and did the general, and then the extra. And it's been a great introduction to getting into this hobby. And the more I learn and participate, it's just there's endless amounts of things to do with it and to learn and to discover and enjoyment all around. So it's been a wonderful hobby. And that was my initial beginnings. Circle back around how I met you guys, but
yeah, we'll put a pin in that one for a second, but I just got a couple of questions. So 20 words a minute with a nail and a, you know, a saw blade. You got to elaborate a little bit on that one. You know, was he an old school CW guy, or what was the deal with that?
This was when he was a teenager. So, you know, just had some old, you know, this was in the, would have been early 60s. So he had whatever very basic, you know, tube. I don't even know what type of radio he had at the time, you know, old Heath kit or something. But yeah, he just had a hacksaw blade, a nail, making the connection, and tap it out. So
the true hamgenuity, as we all experience at some level or another, which is pretty cool. Yeah. So did he? He said is he still an active ham now, or no? Is he just kind of
no? He's he doesn't have any equipment or radios. So.
Okay,
and he's retired and down in Kentucky. So.
And really retired on the porch with the dog type thing. Retired.
Yep.
Yeah. So, wow. So you definitely had a ham in your family pretty much growing up. Did you do any of the Morse code or any CW with them at all, or just not interested as a kid?
Really not, I guess, either not interested or never really was exposed to it. Mm-hmm. He faded from the hobby when I was young. So I never really saw him operating or anything. We never had a radio at home. Mm-hmm. I'd always heard him bragging about the hacksaw blade and the nail. So I was always in the back of my mind.
Yeah, very cool. That sounds like a good t-shirt. Hamgenuity. So, yeah. So you mentioned you were talking about your general and extra and, you know, going from technician to general. Did you do that like all in like a span of like 6 months, or was that like over a year, or like what did that kind of look like for you?
Well, yeah. From initial technician to extra is probably about 18 months. And I remember, I specifically remember making the comment to myself, all right, so I'm a technician. All I need is this ham, this HT, and I may upgrade the little whip antenna on it, but that's all I need. I'll be fine. And they're just shaking their heads saying, yep, give it time. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, I want HF. And at work, you know, I have the opportunity to get on a HF radio and... But I wasn't able to talk on any of the bands because I wasn't licensed. So that was another catalyst of getting the general ticket so that I could get on the HF bands. So.
And so in that you had how many, like, did you have just, you know, you've only changed your call sign like once total, right?
Correct. Yes.
Oh, okay. All right. So you didn't go through like iteration. So interesting. And then, you know, obviously the pandemic hit and you had your small little HT and a little whip antenna. You know, when was the breaking point for you to, you know, decide that, you know, hey, this is not going to hack it any longer? When you met us or before that?
It was before. It was an evolution of physical limitations on where I had my wire antenna and getting it up on the side of the house and getting it down and making adjustments and other house projects I wanted to do. The location where I had the wire antenna wasn't a good permanent long-term location. So that then led me down, you know, we talk about this in the future here, but, you know, planning out a tower and getting that installed. So it was a multifaceted crossroads of decision making that kind of led to that conclusion.
So your first world problem was you were tired of adjusting your wire antenna, that you felt the 65 foot tower was a better approach and a beam and rotor. Okay, see where you're going, Todd. It's only a natural progression to go that route. Very cool. So yeah, before we dive into like how we got together, but what's your journey kind of look like, Todd? Because I know you had an interesting one that, you know, kind of crosses both Ryan and I's path a little bit.
Yeah, Well, I started when I was a kid listening on a scanner to people talking on a on a frequency. I had no idea what they were, who they were, but they just talked a lot. So I was probably listening to repeaters, and that was about it. Figured out they were hams, didn't know how to be a ham, didn't know anything about it. No one in my family did it. And I got into it by accident, really. I fly model aircraft, and there's a thing called first-person view, or FPV. And to do that legally, you have to have a technician's license. Now, no one in the flying model field I know has a technician's license. COVID came around. There was an opportunity to get your technician's license. I said, hey, why not? So I did that, and I did what you did, Ryan. I bought an HT, and I said, oh, I'm going to be all set with this. I can talk to people. Couldn't get on our local repeater on my HT. Had to buy a little mag mount antenna that I stuck on my metal roof. Was finally able to make the repeater, and I thought I was all done. And then I met Eric, and Eric told me I had to get my general, and he basically harassed me. And then he says, we went to a ham fest, or it was some kind of thing in Marlboro, I think. And he goes, this is the day you're taking your general. So I studied and crammed and took those tests over and over again, and went with a bunch of the guys, and they went off to go search for stuff. And I went and took the test, and I came out with my ticket. And that was September 11th, 2021, I think. I know it was that long ago, right? And then right after that, we went to get lunch, and Eric and I on our way back, he goes, hey, you want to activate a park? And that's how I got in the POTA. So, I do want to, I never thought I'd get my general, and now I'm thinking about getting my extra. I just have to kind of crack down and pick a date and start studying. So that's basically my story. Glad I got into it. And I'm like you, Ryan, you know, I didn't think it was going to, I thought I'd get an HF radio and a wire antenna and I'd be done. And then I met you through two, and now I'm all into it.
So I got the real dark, the deep question there, you know. And I didn't know this about you, but you tracked all of the nets you participated in when you were running your HD. That you know, alone is like phenomenal in my mind, because in, you know, where I kind of sit, I'm just like, yeah, I wouldn't have time or the tolerance to do that. I mean, so you have some astronomical number, right? Do you still have that in your head? You know what that looks like?
Yeah, I do have I'm up to like 1,000. 1300, maybe 1400 nets I've been on. So yeah, I just log them. I have a spreadsheet, and I make one for every year, and just go through and log it in, put down who the net control is and any other crazy notes. My farthest net though was from my HT on 5 watts on a mag mount on my metal roof of my old house, and I hit New Brunswick about 850 miles away. And yeah, and that was the first time I was like, whoa. And I thought I hit Boston. I didn't think I hit New Brunswick. And I thought the guys were messing with me, to be honest with you. And then a couple of weeks later, I got a QSL card. And they said, next time we DX, you know, please hit us up again. So that was the start of starting to start thinking, wow, maybe a general and getting my get onto HF might be kind of cool. So that was the start.
It sounds like the natural progression, and you know, with all the other YouTubers that we hear out there, the HT is the gateway drug to getting us all in there, and then, you know, kind of spirals from there. My story is a little similar, you know, although it's a little bit longer in duration. You know, I go back to like my high school years when I was in Boy Scouts, and to, you know, not drag it on too much, you know, that was like back in 92-93, and that was like the no code technician. That's when the first ARL released, you know, hey, you don't actually have to, you know, study Morse code or take the Morse code test to be able to pass your license. You can get a no code technician, and we'll give you a little bit of the portion of the band, which, you know, in my mind, you know, was maybe 16 or 17. I was like, oh, this is so cool. And I had a really good club that, you know, was always had a really good field day presence. So I always got my, you know, field day HF fix in, you know, doing all the setup and that whole entire weekend and whatnot. So I spent a lot of time playing ham radio. You know, I was kind of the kid in school that's, you know, stuck out in the AV, you know, closet, and was one of three other guys, including my brother, to, you know, form the first high school amateur radio club in our, you know, school, you know, thinking that was like the coolest thing. I look back at it now, maybe not so cool, but, you know, it was still a blast to be able to, you know, cut class to go play, you know, HF with the club radio that the local club had donated something. But the one kind of highlight for my life, especially as a no code technician, was I got to you know, there was a big hullabaloo in the amateur community at the time where they were trying to make contact with the space shuttle Atlantis as it would pass over from time to time. So sort of like how we work FM satellites and birds and that, you know, today, you know, it's the same with the Atlantis. So they would make their passes. And the window was so small, you know, we had a small little vertical antenna off the top of the school roof, and a small, I can't remember what radio it was, but either way, it was just a kind of a perfect storm where I just, you know, like you said, Todd, where you had the contact of, you know, 850 miles, you know, within a minute to 2 minutes, you know, making a clear shot at the Atlantis as it goes over with one of the, space shuttle, astronauts there trying to, you know, basically throw out a CQ and made a contact with them and, you know, made all the papers and thought I was like, you know, number one. And, you know, it was all a great experience. And, you know, from that kind of just, you know, continue to build on top of that, you know, for ham radio, but never really got a chance to get my ticket because we were still doing Morse code. And, you know, fast forward to, you know, basically pre-pandemic stuff. My brother, you know, texts me one day, hey, you know, I'm digging out my HF gear, my HTs and all the other radios out of the, you know, the barn. Do you still have yours? And, you know, family got in the way and life got in the way. And so I sold all that stuff. And, you know, so I had nothing to start from square one. And from that, I basically just, you know, said, hey, I'm going to dive back into it. And then, you know, just like you guys had mentioned, the hobby was just an explosive, you know, there's no more Morse code needed for, you know, testing requirements. There's, you know, all these digital modes. There's all these great, you know, HF propagation opportunities and on and on and on. And so I kind of just, you know, fell into this perfect, you know, place where, you know, I could get my general. And then shortly after, like Ryan said, you know, go to get my, you know, extra like a month or two after that, and, you know, got that off the plate. And, you know, I've been starting playing around with, you know, the HF bands. And the benefit, you know, that I kind of seen from it is that, you know, my daughter's got her ticket now, and my dad's work, you know, got his ticket after 20 years of just, you know, hemming and hawing and not doing anything, you know, and my brother's got his license, and other family members are starting to see the benefit. And so it's kind of, you know, this small little family is, you know, being formed, and, you know, really fun to see it, you know, all spread now. I don't think they'll all pick up the ticket and have the excitement that I have in the hobby.
A little Hamlet.
Yes, exactly. we'll be doing act one and act two, hopefully. So, you know, with that, my dad's, you know, it's been a fun experience because now we have something more in common to connect with. And, you know, the hobby, as Ryan mentioned and Todd, you touched on, is that, you know, there's always something to do. There's always something new. And, you know, you always end up down that rabbit hole of something of, you know, hey, I need to get the next gadget to be able to do A, B, or C. So, you know, or if we get bored with something, we're on to something new. So it kind of dovetails from, you know, that's the backstory there. So, you know, Todd and I kind of have our side of the story about how we met you, Ryan, you know, and you and I kind of, I'll touch upon just our connection and then how Todd kind of, you know, came in a chapter later or not. But I think you and I met initially on the repeater and kind of just chit-chat, right?
Correct. Yeah. I had, I'd say for about 6 or 8 months, I was experimenting with, you know, the HT in the car. And so I started, you know, commuting back and forth to work. I'd just keep the HT in the car and I'd just call out CQ, just driving down the road, and it would not work very well. So then I was like, all right, what's the next step? All right, I need to get an antenna on the car. So I started looking around and mag mounts and everything. And, you know, driving an older car, I said, well, screw it. I'm just going to drill a hole in the roof. Nice ground plane. Got an NMO mount and wired it up. And that was a huge improvement, you know. Half wave on 2 meter and 5/8 on 70. And it was great. So, but I still had the handheld 5 watts. And then, so, you know, shopping around, and it was right around that time I discovered a lot of the YouTube guys online, you know, like Josh out in California. He had just done a Yaesu review on the 300. So I'm like, perfect. 50 watts. That'll get me out there. That'll get me into the digital. And, so I'd put that in the car, got it programmed, and I was like, oh, well, what do I program? So, you know, I did a couple of local repeaters, and I remember one day I was had the our local club's repeater tuned up. I was driving through Manchester, and I heard you talking. And so I threw my call sign out there, and we started chatting, and you told me about the Discord app, but then I'd misplaced it, or however I'd recorded that note, I'd lost it. So then a couple weeks goes by. It must have been that weekend, Todd, you had tested and you guys were at Silver Lake doing a POTA. I'm driving down the road and I say, I see two guys in the little lawn chairs talking on a radio. I'm like, I know exactly what that is. Made a quick U-turn, pulled in. I was like, I think the first thing I said to you guys was, CQ, CQ. You're like, yes.
Otherwise, it would have been like, weirdo, weirdo. What the heck? Yeah, so. Yeah, that was pretty cool. I mean, what was your take on that, Todd? You know?
Well, yeah, I mean, that was our second part because we did the rail trail, Nashville rail trail first. And then we had some time. We were like, yeah, let's go over, heading home. Like, let's go over and see how Silver Lake works out. So we just did it right in the parking lot, set it up. And then you pulled up and I was like, wow, look at this. Guys are just showing up. You know, we set up an antenna and they come out of the woodwork. So that was pretty cool. And then I would have never known it would have been, it would have turned into this. And, you know, the friendships that we made and just the connections that we've made and all the ham radio stuff we've been doing.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think my experience kind of with the whole process, especially when we first, like when I first got back into the, you know, after finally getting a real good radio in my rig, in my car at the time, the one I had bought off eBay, it was constantly overheating. I would talk for 5 seconds and then the thing would overheat and then I'd lose my connection to whatever repeater. And I was using some repeaters that I used to talk on a long, long time ago. And so I was like, all right, I got to get a new rig. And then like everybody else did, programmed it for the repeater. And so I've said to myself at the very beginning, I'm going to be, you know, very aggressive. And I'm probably known this way, but I was like every 5 minutes, every 20 minutes calling out, you know, seeing who would talk to me, no matter what. I'm sure there's, you know, the guys that we have on our machines probably got tired of hearing my call sign all the time. And I still to this day think that sometimes when I put my call sign out there, they just hear it and they ignore it because they're just like, yeah, it's Eric. I don't really have time to have a full conversation. But you know, that's neither here nor there. So then, you know, when we started having conversations, the funny thing is I couldn't remember your call sign for a long time. When you pulled up, like you would rattle off your call sign to me and I'm just like, yeah, it sort of clicked. And I'm like, I couldn't remember fully, but I remember having a conversation and I had talked to so many people probably in that, you know, time span of like 6 to 8 weeks that it was like, all right, well, either way, I got to get this guy's name because we got to stay connected. He's, you know, he's my age or he's, you know, he's in my age bracket and we got to get younger guys in the club because, you know, yep. I know that, you know, not to dismiss any of the older generation, but, you know, they have their generation and, you know, we got to be the up and coming kind of crew. And, you know, I don't want to be the only guy in the club that's, you know, under 50 or under 60, you should say, probably is a better range.
Right.
And so, yeah, when you pulled up, I was like, oh, dude, that's awesome. And, you know, I think Todd and I were like, yeah, we got to get him involved. We got to get Ryan, you know, and get him. Yeah. Yeah, don't worry. I got an email to him. You know, I don't want to badger him and think, you know, we're like lonely people and, you know, we just need somebody to come join us. But that was just that natural progression of like, hey, cool. Yeah, come join what we're doing. And, you know, that's the awesome part of this hobby is that it's totally different than like all being in your shack hunkered down all alone. Like that's the farthest thing, you know, from what really truly ham radio, at least for me, has been in this kind of, you know, day and age, you know, being able to be portable and being able to just be outdoors and, you know, be able to do just stuff with other people. That's the big thing for me. I mean, the conversation and, you know, communication and making contacts are, you know, just the icing on the cake, but, you know, having these relationships with you guys and watching that kind of grow and, you know, living each other's kind of dreams. It's been fun. I know, we'll talk about a bunch of other stories down the road, you know, of Ryan's tower experiences and Todd's, you know, credit card being over maxed out with his second 2.0 version in his shack you know, some of my HOA woes. But yeah, it's all going to be some, you know, great ride. And, you know, we're definitely glad you guys are, you know, from an audience are here to share that with us. And, you know, we'll see where we go from here. But, you know, overall, you know, any kind of last things you guys want to add or touch upon or
Stay tuned because we have a lot of things planned. It's going to be a great series of shows coming up and hope the audience sticks around.
Yeah, definitely. Todd, how about you?
Yeah, I echo that. I think I'm the newbie here. When I started ham radio, I knew green was ground and that was about it. So I never
ground.
Yeah, well, I know, but I know a little bit more now, but that's where I started. And I, you know, I didn't think I'd even pass the technician, let alone move up. And I've actually been learning a lot and
I enjoy the hobby quite a bit. And I think it's a lot because of the people that are in our club and you guys that have kind of, you know, taught me some things. And then I think I fell in love with the mobile activation and doing POTA. I mean, I get addicted to that POTA. And once I get going, I don't want to stop. And we'll talk more about that in a future episode because I do POTA everywhere I can. And my goal is to work and get paid to do POTA.
You heard it here first.
And I'm already getting it done. I'll tell you my little secrets. But no, it's been great. And like I said, we have a great club. You know, I didn't know what to expect. First time I went to our club meeting, didn't know anyone, kind of didn't know half the things that people were talking about. And, you know, very welcoming club. And, you know, everyone's been great. And like I said, we're glad we're doing this podcast. This is the first experience for me with podcasting. I know, Eric, you have another podcast that you've done. So I wouldn't have been able to do this without you. And I'm glad you offered to let me join in. But I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be good.
Yeah. Yeah, you guys make it easy for sure. You know, that this is a journey I think we all share. And, you know, definitely the hobby alone is a great hobby in and of its own self. But, you know, when you start doing it with guys who do, you know, enjoy it as much as you do, it just makes the ride that much better for sure. Cool. All right. Well, I think, you know, that sounds like a good wrap up. If you, you know, liked our show, you have to come visit us on livefreeandham.com, or you could check out our posts on Instagram at Live Free Your Ham Podcast. And again, if you want to reach out to any of our hosts directly, you can find me, N1JUR, at N1JUR.com, or Ryan at W1SNH, or Todd at W1STJ.com. Sound right, Todd? Or
nope, that's it, W1STJ.com.
Cool. All right. Well, with that, thank you again, guys, for listening. Stay tuned.